please click the subscribe button and the notification icon. It will help us a lot. Hi, everybody. I'm Rodrigo from Level Up, and I'm really, really happy to have here David Badgasarian. He is the CEO and the founder of Trees AI, which is an app, a very small app that you can install into your computer. And what it does pretty much is erase all the noise from the background. And this thing has saved me a lot of trouble. So if you have been following me for a long time or in the other podcasts where we talk about creativity, you know that I have a lot of problems with the noise, with the background noise. I had to rent other studios. I had to do a lot of things in order to get into a place where I don't have much of a noise. And this is really crazy because in the beginning, I was a little bit, let's say, not trusting the app, thinking like, well, I have a lot of noise, so maybe this is an app that doesn't completely erase it. So I'm going to do something right here that pretty much impressed me when I found it out. And for those who are not are listening through our podcast, I'm going to clap three times right now. Now, most probably you haven't heard anything at all. And that is what is great about this. Like, I have an air conditioner running right next to me. I have a lot of traffic going on behind my house right now. There is a lot of noise. And just to let you know, I'm going to turn this up for a moment so you can listen. So there is a lot of noise, and now you can hear me clap. So this is something that has saved me a lot of trouble, because thanks to this, I was able to set up a studio back in my house, save a lot of money from renting another place to do my audios. Also, because I am in my house now, I will be able to do way more interviews online, because I don't have to go into traffic, and the traffic where I live is really crazy. So I really, really hate to get out of my house, especially during traffic hours. So I'm really, really happy. And I think that this is the first time that I'm able to say thanks to the creator of something that has fixed so much issues in my life. So thank you and welcome, David Badgasarian.
Hey, thanks, Rodrigo. Thanks for kind words. I'm really happy to be on this show. It's really flattering to hear all these kind words. And, you know, we have spent over 3 years building this software. And, you know, words like this make us very motivated and excited to continue this work. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. And yeah, like, I mean, really thank you, because just to give you a kind of idea, I'm from El Salvador. I come from this third world country. And something that has been, I started entrepreneurship back in 2012. And the thing with the background noise has been like a headache to me since then. Like, it's been, what, 9, 8 years of having this issue and not being able to be on calls. Like, even having business calls was an issue, because if I knew that I was going to have a call with a client, I would have to look for some place quiet, because, you know, it's not that professional to have like a lot of noise coming behind you. I have a dog now. There was a moment where I had this call with a client, and there was a lot of traffic behind my house, like people sounding the beeping and the air conditioning, and I had a new dog, and the dog entered my room and was chewing on a plastic bag, so there was a lot of noise, and the client didn't hear anything. That was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. I mean, exactly. These are the situations we had in mind, actually, when we built Crisp. You know, and I'm from Armenia. I spent like 10 years in Silicon Valley working in different companies. And the last company I worked for was a company named Twilio, Twilio.com. It's a big communications platform. So I used to travel a lot, and because of different time zones, I used, when I joined like team meetings, I might be very in a very different place, like, I don't know, a cafe or, with a lot of noise. So I wish there was a button I clicked and the mute background noise would be muted. And that's how we came up with the idea. Actually, the idea of CRISP, there was a real pain for me as someone working remotely. And it has obviously created the need to work on stuff like this. So yeah. I can very much relate to the problem you said.
Yeah, I even have a friend who had this issue because he started blogging. And now, this is he lives in a private apartment where everything is healed. He lives in Krakow and everything is so quiet. But something that I learned when I was living there is that when everything is so quiet, that even the tiny noise can be heard, and especially if it is a big noise. So apparently some of his neighbors are starting to do some remodelations in his house. And when he was trying to record from his own apartment, you can hear the hammers, the saws, the drills, everything. And he was like, really frustrated because of that. And so even if you live in a very quiet place and you work in a very quiet place, there could be elements that are outside your control that can pretty much create extra troubles for you when these elements are creating a lot of noise.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's, Rodrigo, that's our mission. That's what we do at CRISP. Like, we want professionals to be able to work from wherever they want. In terms of, joining calls, doing recordings and everything, while staying very, professional. And, muting the background noise is one of the things that, we have launched. And it's the only thing that CRISP does today. But there are a number of other things that we're going to add, so that CRISP becomes even more valuable to, people like you and myself. So that's what we are doing every day and night, actually, in this company.
Yeah, to be honest, a friend of mine recommended the use of CRISP, but at the time it was only available into macOS. I use Windows.
Yep.
So pretty much I jump into the mailing list to be notified as soon as it launched on Windows. But probably you already have this idea, but just in case, I'm going to give it to you because I have heard this from a couple of my friends. Some of them, they use microphone recorders, pretty much a hardware that doesn't use software to record their audios. So they have told me if there was a way to upload an audio that they record into CRISP and come out with the audio without the noise, that would be amazing.
Yeah, we have users who have asked for that feature. As a small company, we need to be very focused on what we do, right? And for us, from the very beginning, we have been very focused on real-time communications. So like using CRISP with Zoom and Hangouts and Skype, right? When you focus on that, there are certain requirements you need to meet, like latency requirements, CPU load requirements and all of that. So we have spent a lot of engineering time to build CRISP for that use case. Having said that, doing even a better job on recordings is something that is in our roadmap. I wouldn't say that it's going to come in the near future, but it's certainly in our roadmap. So, if you work on a file rather than real-time communication, real-time audio, the quality of noise cancellation can be even better. So, but that's something that will come over time.
Yeah, definitely. And, well, pretty much as I understand, CRISP pretty much uses artificial intelligence and neural networks. Now, I'm someone who has studied for system engineering, and I knew a little bit about developing, but I have to admit that the new technologies that are coming to this day are way beyond what I learned to do. So can you explain us a little bit first, for those who do not know anything about computer software or anything like that, what is a neural network and how do you use it to pretty much eliminate the noise?
Yeah, absolutely. So neural network is basically a big, very, very, very big state machine, right? Which when you keep training with a lot of data, it starts to do certain tasks, you know. So for neural network, I mean, neural networks have become quite popular in the last, you know, 8 to 10 years, and they turned out to be very effective for certain type of tasks, right? Especially when you have a lot of data, and where the data, by having like training data, by that I mean, you know, you have, let's say, like in our case, you know, we have a lot of noises, background noises, a very, very large data set of background noises. And we also have very, very large data set of speeches, like human speeches in a not noisy environment, like in data, like studio level recordings, right? And so we have these two different data sets, and when we mix them together with different noise levels, we get like really infinite, of course, large data set of noisy speech, like artificial noisy speech, right? So we use that data, we feed that data to neural network that we designed. From one side, we say, hey, this is a noisy speech, but its corresponding not noisy or clean speech is here. This is a noisy speech, this is a clean speech, this is a noisy speech, this is a clean speech. And we do it over days, so on very powerful machines, like on GPUs, right? And the way we designed our neural network, and there is a lot of math that went into it. So we have, you know, we have a pretty big research team for a small company as ours. You know, we have 12 people research team actually today. Most of them hold PhDs in math and physics. So they have designed this neural network so that when the training happens, it optimizes itself to recognize what's background noise and what's the clean speech. And when you run it on unrecognized audio, it's able to separate them from each other and then only leave the human speech. That's what CRISP does. So when you click the mute button inside CRISP app, it takes every audio frame coming from your microphone, and it sends it to the neural network, which has millions of nodes in it. It goes through that, and what comes in the output is the clean speech, right? And it does it on every audio frame in 30 millisecond audio frame. So it does a lot of processing actually to remove your clapping noise. So it's pretty complicated technology. And I'm, we think that we are the only ones that have that technology today. And that's why, you know, CRISP is so exciting for many, many people.
Yeah, and this is something that, again, truly blows my mind, because I don't have like the most powerful computer. It's actually, it's kind of old. I need to replace it very soon. But right now, looking at the CPU usage, it's only using like 10% of my computer CPU. And I'm thinking like, wow, like, again, I have a Core i5 of 1.8 gigahertz, so it's not that much. And it's only using 10% of that. So, well, if I had like a Core i7 with a lot of power there, probably it's not going to use.
Yeah, like 2-3%. It will go down to 2-3%.
Yeah, exactly.
Of that machine.
And again, as you mentioned, like there is a lot of things happening in order to eliminate all the noises that are happening right now and just leave the clean voice. And I, even though I'm not like the expert on sounds, I do know a couple of editors and people who have worked in radio and audios, and when they had to eliminate the background noise, what they had to do was to get like a really good sample of the background noise first, just the background noise, so they can put like a filter in an audio edition software or something like that. And it wasn't that easy. So when I showed this to them and started doing the test, they were like the biggest skeptics because there's no possible way that this app is going to eliminate all that. And what if a bus or a huge truck goes in the background and pretty much does a huge noise, and I'm like, this thing is going to eliminate that. It's like, no, it's not possible. Then I showed them the clap and they were like, wow, what the hell happened here?
Yeah. So, I mean, no, absolutely. So I can imagine why they were very, why they looked at it from a skeptical perspective. And we have seen that actually. And the reason is because, there is a traditional way of, doing audio engineering, right? You know, people have been doing it for like 30 years. And there are many traditional DSP, like audio DSP algorithms for noise cancellation. So for context, like the state of the art for noise cancellation today is that is deployed, outside CRISP for mobile phones, for example, is using multiple microphones to eliminate noise, right?
Yeah.
So all our smartphones, they have multiple microphones on them, and it's designed exactly for this reason, to eliminate background noise. Like the way it works, one of the microphones must be close to your mouth, and the other microphone must be very far from your mouth. And it will only work in that setup. And these algorithms will work only when there is when there is stationary noise, so something that is repeating, like a signal that you mentioned, right? That you can see is being repeated, like something like a clap. Is a non-stationary noise. So it's very, very, it has a very short spin. So, traditional algorithms, they cannot really detect these claps and adapt to them. So that's why when we chose to approach the problem from a machine learning perspective, it's a very different technology. So it's new for the industry and for the academy and academic world. And it does wonders, and that's why, they're being very surprised when they see the performance.
Yeah, definitely.
And we have seen that as well. Like, we have worked with very big companies, and their audio engineering teams were highly surprised as well when they saw this.
Yeah, definitely. And again, like, I have sometimes some trucks pass through here and they start braking, and they use this kind of air pressure brakes that sounds like a huge trumpet. I had them happen a couple of times here, and there is no noise coming from the audio. And in the first times, I was like very scared that, oh man, this is definitely going to be listened here, but nothing at all. So I'm really impressed by that. And something that I want to ask you is that this is a very, very complex kind of software. So from the, let's say, entrepreneurial idea of starting out a business and creating the first valuable, the first viable idea or product, I'm guessing in this case you had kind of to present just the idea, or were you able to build something to show, let's say, to investors or something like that? Because I'm assuming that you went to get venture capital in order to fund the team and start creating this.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is how the story goes, right? Like, my co-founder was an old-time friend of mine. I met him once and gave the idea. I was like, I myself didn't have experience in machine learning and audio, but he holds a PhD in math, so he's more savvy in this. So when I gave him the idea, it was like throwing an idea in the air. Like, I didn't have any expectations, but apparently he was looking for some really interesting idea to work in deep learning, machine learning world. So he he took it and started working on that. And he hired his friend, who is our chief scientist today, Stepan. So they started working on this, and after 6 months there was already a result. It was pretty shitty result at that time. But we thought it's good because nobody had any, you know, experience in audio. Like, we never built microphones or speakers. You know, we approached the problem from mathematical, like purely mathematical perspective. And so we thought it's a great result because, you know, there was a demo. You could see that it's, you know, removing the noise, but it was also impacting the human voice, which is very bad. Like, you know, our ears, human ears, are very sensitive to artifacts. So if you leave an artifact in audio, they are going to be like really annoyed with it, right? So, but that, you know, well, after 1 year of research, we thought that we should really start a company here, and we had a demo that was working okay. So we used that demo to impress people, investors, and partners, and then we raised our initial fund from a number of small VCs and also from Berkeley Skydeck Accelerator. So that was like after 3 months of officially founding the company. And that's how it started. And after that, you know, it's like a roller coaster. You know, you need to go through a lot of business. Like, what we did, we have tested many business models. All of our initial thoughts were wrong. Hypotheses were wrong. And then we came up with the idea of Chris, because Chris was not the original idea, right? We thought we will license this technology to other companies, but quickly, we learned that's not a great model, like business model, and a great way to build a startup. So we came up with the idea of Chris, which originally was a marketing, you know, idea for us. We thought we will build Chris, we'll push it there, and people will be amazed, and then they will come back to us to license the technology. But the more we saw how exciting CRISP is, the more we understood that it's actually by itself has a much bigger vision and, you know, upside as a business. And it is way more exciting than being a licensing technology licensing company. So we have turned from, you know, research team or research focused company into a product company, which was a big transformation for us. So now we have product, marketing, you know, sales, business development, and the research team. So
this is something that I really like about this path of entrepreneurship, because you usually begin with one idea and end up doing something completely different that you didn't expect it at all, but it usually turns to be for the better.
And that's true.
And on that,
and you know, note, and you yeah. never know which one is this. You know, you never know when it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, well, you probably have experience as well with this. But when I started out in entrepreneurship years ago, I had all these ideas of the problems that I will have to face, and that, like, the bigger issues that they were going to happen and how I will have to deal with them, but they never happen. And or when they happen, they weren't like that big of a deal as I thought they will be. But the things that were really, really hard to solve, let's say, were things that I never even thought about in the first place. They never even crossed my mind. So on the spirit of finding out the things that we don't know, what is something that you didn't expect at all when you started your career, this company, that became true and is really, really important to know?
Oh my God. I mean, there are like this past 2 years for me as an entrepreneur and as a co-founder and as a CEO was... It was so educational and transformational, right? You know, if you asked me like 2 years ago, I mean, 3-4 years ago, I would never told you like you know, I'm gonna be an entrepreneur. You know, I was always great at my work, whatever I did, right? And I thought that I will certainly join like startup because I'm really very excited about, you know, business and, you know, technology and the intersection of these two. But I never thought that I will become, you know, like a founder and, you know, a CEO and all of that. So when you become someone like that, like someone who needs to do so many parallel things, you know, wear so many hats, you know, starting from engineering, I don't know, like looking at some very complicated research papers and not understanding anything, but trying to be, you know, helpful to the team, and then looking at very complex investment papers and trying to understand what the words mean in them, and then learning like marketing, learning business development, you know, getting into the sales world. So these are so, you know, these disciplines are so very different from each other that, you know, every 3 months you need to, you know, outgrow yourself and do something like that, you know, that is very, very new to you. So I would say like, yeah, I mean, like for me, like the latest transformations in myself were about marketing and sales, right? So when you start dealing with these problems firsthand, you know, and without having any prior knowledge about them, it's amazing because you learn so many new things and like, oh my God, this is why people do this to me. Like, this is why marketers do it that way. And you feel like, oh, wow, okay, I'm being used then by marketers. And without that, you don't realize these things until you start to learn these, right? So, there's so many things that I could mention. And I think like people need to go through this to really understand like what the amount of new skills and knowledge and experience they get by the struggle and everyday, you know, emotions that you get, you know, have as an entrepreneur, especially in the software space, which is super, you know, super fast and super competitive, right?
Yeah, definitely. And well, you're in Silicon Valley, so that's like the epicenter where everything is happening. So the good thing is that in your case, you don't have competition because, again, nobody's doing this. So.
No. So, well, by the way, I am. So our company has two offices, one in Berkeley and one in Armenia. So right now I'm in Armenia, and we have a very big team here. You know, this is where we created technology, really. Like this is where we created the product, and the team in Berkeley is running our business and, you know, development and sales. So yeah, but by the way, I mean, we don't have a competitor today. That's right. But I'm pretty sure that, you know,
now that the idea is out there.
That's correct. So I'm pretty sure that it won't be, you know, too long until we have a competitor. But what excites us and what you know, the reason we are not very unhappy or worried about that is because we have a really, you know, we have a big pipeline of very, very cool technologies that are going to go into CRISP. Happy to talk about them from a high level at this stage, but happy to share it with you, Rodrigo.
Awesome. Let's go into it.
Yeah, because I mean, one of the things that you mentioned for your room, you know, I'm pretty sure you have, like when you just moved into this room that you are currently in, there was room echo, right? And, you know, every room has room echo. And, you know, people spend a lot of money to make the acoustics better, right? Yeah, we have these things, you know, these ugly things in our room so that they take sound, the echo in.
We had to build our own because there was another place that we were renting that, because it was so small and had a lot of, like, even the ceiling had this design where it has some cubes dipped into it. So it created even more echo than usual. And we tried with a lot of stuff and didn't work. So we found this solution where you had to build your own panels using a lot of towels, and we did that in order to reduce the noise, and that worked a little bit. But
so like pretty much everyone has that problem when they work remotely, right? They need to put some soft material on the walls, on the ground, so that the voice doesn't, you know, travel and come back to the microphone. So you know, pretty soon Crisp is going to have that feature where you mute the noise, it also mutes that room echo. So pretty much, you know, Crisp is going to make these rooms, you know, remove the room echo from these rooms, or make them, I guess, echo friendly or whatever. Voice friendly. So I think that's going to be a pretty big deal, and that's going to help you, you know, people, professionals and remote workers to be more flexible from, you know, when they take, you know, calls from home, from their basement, or, you know, from any place, right? So that's one very cool thing. And the other thing is that I'm very, very excited about is something we call like personalized noise cancellation, which is like Crisp today removes like, you know, beep, you know, it removes claps, it removes anything that is not human speech, right? But imagine if someone next to you were speaking, you know, with their voice, and then you would be, you know, so you would be taking your podcast, right? Imagine that voice also gets muted, right? When you click on Crisp. So we think this is a experience that is going to be transformational on how people take calls, right? How, you know, confident they are when they take these calls from airports, you know, in call centers, in, you know, public places. And we already have this technology, and we are starting to take it to production. So a lot of innovation in our audio, you know, research team. And also,
you know, something that that happened, now that you mentioned the other person talking, luckily this happened when I was just doing some tests, because I was trying to at that moment I was trying to test like how Crisp pretty much work with a lot of noises, and in that moment it was really good, because there passed a car here with some speakers, and it wasn't noise, but it was a guy we had elections a while ago, so there was a guy talking about the election campaign, and because that was a voice, a human voice talking into the megaphone, that came a little bit through the noise cancellation.
Yeah, and it's really hard for the algorithm to determine like what's your voice and what's the other voice, right? It's actually an unsolved problem. It's not solved. We think we have a great solution to that, and it's going to be the first solution tackling that problem. So and we have some other things. I won't talk about them that much, but pretty much you will be able to use Crisp for, you know, doing video transformations as well in real time. That's very, very exciting.
Nice.
For remote workers.
And you are developing the app for Android and iOS as well, right?
Well, we are. Yes, that's correct. And we are going to launch Crisp for iPhone pretty soon. We'll start with iPhone.
Nice. Yes, because I have a friend who is now in Japan. Hello, Lily, if you're listening. And when I showed this to her, she uses a lot her iPhone to record stuff and do live things on social media, because she's a little bit of an influencer and blogger. And she told me, like, man, as soon as this thing comes up in an app for iPhone, let me know.
It's going to come in a bit of different form. It's going to be only used for calls, no recordings.
Okay.
But still, it will be, you know, the experience will be quite amazing with it, you know, especially if you're in a noisy place.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing is, like, when you use your smartphone, like you hold it, you know, over your ear, and the microphone is close to your mouth, Noise cancellation is quite good. Like today, you know, if you keep holding like this, it's going to be okay. But people don't like this, right? I mean, this is quite unnatural. So people, you know, do it like you have headphones, you know, you put it in your pocket and you use your headphones like AirPod or like any other headphone. And when you do that, there is no noise cancellation. Okay.
Yeah.
So with Crisp, you know, Crisp gonna solve that problem for people. Like when we launch iPhone, they will be able to use, you know, their, you know, any headphone they have, they would like, and still, you know, noise cancellation will be there. And it's quite amazing when you dig into these problems. Like I mean, you start noticing things that you never knew, right? So I have a colleague who was like the other day, we were in a meeting, so he had you know, his Jabra headphones on him, like pretty expensive headphones, and he joined the call, and I was in the same call. So he was in a noisy place, and I was holding the phone like this, and my voice was pretty good. So he wasn't holding like this. He had his headphones, and like every time he would unmute, like there was a, like a really bad noise just in front of me, right? And I asked him to put the phone, like, you know, on his ear. And it was like that picture is always in front of my eyes. He did this, and the voice was gone. I mean, the noise was gone. So, like, we don't know these things because we don't hear ourselves. But I think like the Crisp app for mobile phone is gonna, you know, be quite transformational there.
Yeah, and even in conferences calls, like using Zoom or Skype or anything like that, or Google Hangouts. There is when you have a group of people, there is usually always somebody who, whenever he mutes, like there is a whole lot of noise coming through, and or people who are not aware of, and people start sending messages like, "Hey, mute your microphone! Like there is a lot of noise. What the hell is going on there?" So it's kind of annoying because sometimes people are trying to speak and they haven't muted their microphones, and there is just a ton of noise happening in the background.
That's right.
I'm glad that I will never be that person from now on. And
yeah.
Let me ask you this. Probably you already, well, as you mentioned, you have already a lot of things that you thought were going to happen a certain way that didn't happen the way and ended up happening in a different way that you never expected. So I wanted to ask you, have you ever had like a failure or something that seemed like a failure that has set you up for success in the future?
Oh. So a failure that seemed like a failure originally and then, but it contributed to success. Well, you know, one thing that comes to my mind, you know, there was a time that, you know, there is a saying that you need to fail many times so that, you know, you become successful, right? I did it once, actually. So there was like, 6 years, I think it was 6 years ago, or maybe more like 8 years ago, there, you know, I started building a product. I was like, I was an engineer, you know, software engineer, like had no idea about business, marketing or anything. So I sat there and with my wife, actually, we started building a product for like, for something that we had no, you know, business relation to, but you know, it was about movies. Like we really liked watching movies with, especially with friends. So we would go to our friends, and you know, we couldn't find a movie to watch because everyone had different taste. You know, everyone wanted to watch something different. So we built a product called Movito.com, and I spent like, I think like 9 months or maybe more to, you know, like moonshotting for that. So like working after hours, you know, building a product. And I thought like the day I will launch, it will like become the product of the year, like the next day. So I guess very, very naive engineer. So that's, you know, and I launched it together with my wife, that was the team. And nothing happened, obviously, right? Because, you know, I never did any marketing. I didn't have any idea or plan about, you know, go to market or anything. So, you know, after like, I guess, 2-3 weeks after that launch, I was so like devastated and disappointed. And, you know, I left that project. I think if I continued working on that, it was going to be, you know, something really, really cool. But that, like, I always keep that in my mind, like that failure. And you know, I think people, it's not like they don't need to fail many times. They just need to see the experience of failure, right? Because like what really taught me was, hey, like by that time I only thought about engineering. Like I thought that was the king, that was the real stuff, right? But now into the startup, like every other month we are learning something very, 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 you know, new that resets our, you know, mindset entirely, right? So you need to like think really multidisciplinary. And but that still, that experience was very valuable for these companies. Semi success or tiny success that we have so far. So
yeah, definitely. Something that happened as well, my business partner so had an experience similar to you. Like he never thought he will be an entrepreneur or business owner, things like that. He just wanted to be an employee making animations. Then the 2008 crisis happened and the economy went to hell. And now he is, and pretty much we were kind of, well, I did never thought I would be like an entrepreneur as today terms and working with a lot of people around the world either. It was just that we didn't have any option. Like there was, again, like the economy burned and, right. And we were in a situation where we had to do something or there will be real consequences for not doing something. So we ended up selling our business. But yeah, again, like I think this is something that has taught me for a lot of years, this fear of failure. And it's not as bad as as long as you're still alive and your health is intact and your mind is good. I think it's not as bad as most people think it will be.
No, you know, I think like when you're in a crisis, I mean, or like you're in a shortage of something, right? Or you're in a very you know, a bad situation, let's say, let's put it that way, or challenging situation. It helps you to sharpen your mind and focus. And that's something like super important for startups. Like another example that might be even more relevant to your question is, you know, like several months ago, we had a potential deal with a very large, very, very, very large customer. And they were going to pay us a lot of, you know, money for technology. But I'm pretty sure if that deal happened, which I wanted to happen because it was a lot of money, right? And we needed that money, really needed a lot. So if that happened, we wouldn't be where we are currently with Crisp. So looking back in hindsight, I'm glad that deal didn't happen, although I felt like really devastated when it didn't happen. So looking back now, I think it was great that it didn't happen, and because we wouldn't focus on and build Crisp and continue improve it and, you know, be focused. So right, so those are like very tough decisions, and not just decisions, just emotional, you know, periods when you have in startups. And this is why, you know, yeah, you need to deal with uncertainty, you need to embrace, I guess, uncertainty and not be devastated, although I guess that's not possible. There's too much emotion.
Yeah, definitely. And I am, well, again, what you're doing is not an easy task. Your product, Crisp, is not even though it is a simple solution for us, creating that simple solution is not easy at all. So let me ask you this. I'm assuming that there have been moments where you have felt overwhelmed with a lot of work that you had to do or unfocused because of the stress or the task that was really hard. So whenever you're overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do to get back to your center so you can keep working? Or
well, it's not like sometimes I'm overwhelmed. Usually I'm overwhelmed, you know. And it's not about me, only about me. Like my co-founder feels the same way, and some of our employees might also feel the same way, because we need to be very fast. As as a startup, we need to run very fast, which means it's a lot of work. In the same time, I guess for the founders, it's even more, because there are so many things happening around, and some of these things don't end up not happening, but you still keep imagining about them, imagining what would happen if they happened, right? And then some of the things might happen. So it's a lot of uncertainty, and you definitely feel overwhelmed. Like one of the things I do is, and I started doing it for 2 years ago, is jiu-jitsu. So I think being in physical shape, being fit is very, at least it's super important for me. Like if I don't do that for a month or so, I start being feeling depressed, right? Because my body is not, my body doesn't help me anymore. So my brain keeps thinking about stuff, and it's not getting relaxed. So going to jiu-jitsu is like every like two or three times a week has become a habit of mine, and it really helps me to recover and fight the overwhelming mindset. And another way is really like not for a while, but you ask about not being focused, right? So there are many times where I'm not focused. I cannot get focused, and I feel like I keep progress. I keep not doing what I need to do. But one thing is like this. I'm gonna tell you something very, very simple. These headphones, these are Bose noise canceling headphones. Active noise canceling. When I put them on and start a music, I am focused in like 3 seconds. This is how I am. I don't know why it happens. This is how my brain works. When I need to do stuff, I just keep, wear this, start a music, and I'm back to work. So that helps me. I don't know if it will help others or not, but this has been quite a productivity tool for me.
Yeah, actually, I'm the same way, to be honest. And this happened a couple of years ago when I started realizing that even if I didn't have the music, just to have the headphones on or these things on here will help me concentrate more, because at some point I realized that, I'm not playing music. Why do I have these things on? And then I took it off, and just by taking it off, I felt my focus drop a lot. It's like, okay, let's put this back on. And I did it a couple of times, and it was the same. So just being able to reduce the noise outside helped a lot as well.
Yeah.
And with music, it's even better. Nothing to deny it. And if you were to meet, let's say, a very young, driven student who is about to enter, let's call it the real world, what advice would you give that person, and what advice should that person ignore?
Oh, ignore?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good question. Well, the advice, I guess, I would, I think when people are asked such questions, they usually share from their own experience. And, what has been good for me might not be good for others. But, based on my experience, I think, getting, before you start your company, your startup, I think it's actually important to work for others for some years, you know. So for a freshly grad students, I would suggest trying different things, you know, seeing how the world works and how the business works, creating relationships and network before they start, before they think about their about, you know, starting their stuff. So that has been very helpful for me. You know, my experience at Twilio, I spent there 3 years at Twilio, has been amazing. You know, I've learned so much on how to run a successful company from the executive staff at Twilio. And I'm just applying all that, you know, experience back in my company, right? So like without that, like, you know, our company would be very, very different. And so it might not even happen. So I think like that experience and exposure to how, you know, businesses work is really, really important. Because I see many, many fresh students, you know, they want to do startups because it's hype, because it's cool to do that. And they might, you know, it will be way, way harder for them. I mean, there are always exceptions. Let's not talk about, we're not talking about exceptions, right? So, I mean, getting the experience from real world, I think is really important.
Yeah, on the other side, I also recommend people, especially people who already have worked a couple of years, to try entrepreneurship and try it hard for about 2 years, because even, let's say, if there is this thing that nobody knows, I think we don't have a method where we can set up, okay, this is an entrepreneur or this is a worker, like the only way to finding out is to actually try it and try it hard. And
that's true.
But even if you find out that you are not an entrepreneur, you will learn so much more through those 2 years of experience. Because, so for example, in my personal experience about that was that as an entrepreneur, I have been able to see the perspective of a boss, let's say. And it is a whole different perspective than one from the being the worker. And now I realize, like, when I see myself when I was a worker for 5 years, like, all the things where I was messing up, all the things that I was doing that were not right. And let's say, even if I have failed as an entrepreneur, or if I have to go back to working in some years, we never know how how things will pan out in the future. But the experience that I have now, the lessons and all that, like if I were to go back to be a worker for another company, let's say, I'm sure now that I will be one of the top performers, because the experience is so much different.
that's a very interesting thought. I can see that as well, because it changes your perspective on things, right? It changes your perspective on business and on communication and maybe presentation and sales, right? absolutely. I mean, there is no one advice, right? There is no one path that fits everyone, right? I think it's a mix, and also for every individual, it's a different path. But anyway, so like seeing what like big successful business processes are and how they work, and also seeing all of that from the other perspective, from the entrepreneur perspective, like I think both are important.
Yeah, definitely. So we're reaching the end of the interview. So I wanted to ask you, is there any advice that you would like to give that we haven't talked into this interview yet?
Any advice?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I guess to new entrepreneurs, is that the audience?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know, when you feel you're ready for that, don't hesitate. Definitely get into it. It's fun. It's, you know, you're gonna do things that you never imagined. It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be, you know, emotionally draining. But in the same time, you know, you're gonna, and at least that was for me, right? You're gonna feel very, 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 very proud of your work and the achievements. So get into that and start. You know, don't wait too much. Just start it, and good things will happen.
Definitely.
Get out of your comfort zone. That's the biggest thing.
Definitely big on that as well. And if people want to find about you and Chris, where would be the best place to do so?
Well, our website, like crisp.ai, and you can always shoot me an email. It's David, D-A-V-I-T, at crisp.ai. You know, I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, so feel free to reach out and, you know, get in touch.
Awesome. I will also set all the links in this post for this interview. And if you're watching in our YouTube channel, you will be able to find the links over there as well. And something that David is doing with Crisp is that for people who already have an account, they give us an affiliate link so that you can get 2 months for free on Crisp. So I'm going to put my link as well there, so you can get a 2-month trial and you can test this app out, because it is absolutely amazing. I highly recommend it. And anybody doing business calls, interviews, conference calls, live broadcasts, anything like that. And if you have a problem with background noise, you should definitely use this app. So,
all right. Thanks a lot, Rodrigo. It was really a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being here and giving us your time. I know that you're really busy. And once again, thanks for creating this app. So if you like this interview, please click the like button below. And if you're listening from the podcast, please click the subscribe button and the YouTube as well. Until next time.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.